This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. PostWrestlingCafe.com.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us, for open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
As if they don't have too much on their plates. The Kings of Combat Sports Podcast, John and Wade. They talk about the things they did that day. They'll analyze the work of Triple H.
Rewind to SmackDown. 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 Rewind to SmackDown.
Well, hello. Look how many more people there are now. I mean, boy, if you could have heard what we just talked about for 20 minutes.
Oh, maybe you would have heard us talk about Hulk Hogan, the status of Terry, and whether or not he will be at Saturday night's main event tomorrow. Yes. The answer is no.
Yeah, and a deep discussion on how to rehabilitate your image if you are accused of racism.
Oh, yes, yes, a lot got into. Of course, we also chatted about last night's TNA live show, including a live appearance from Tessa Blanchard and a whole lot of other news and notes, including LR.
When was the last time we let off with TNA as the top news item?
I think it's rare. It might have been actually one of our TNA reviews way back. So could be that, John. And then some other notes, John. You know, we spoke about, or you at least spoke about some latest ratings news, and also tomorrow's Collision lineup. So all that and more, including calls and feedback later on tonight in the Post Wrestling Cafe XL edition.
We're here all night long, as was SmackDown. Tonight they were at the Moody Center in Austin, Texas, in front of a number from WrestleTix, 10,313. So I feel like I'm the WWE graphic here, but this was their sixth show this year. This year that has topped 10,000, okay? Six. Tomorrow will be number seven. Monday is in Atlanta. They will probably hit 10,000 by the time Monday hits. And they have just crossed 60,000 tickets out for Royal Rumble next Saturday. This is one of the... I can't remember the last month where they did this much attendance. This is a phenomenal run that they are on with their TV. I think there is one SmackDown that failed to hit 10,000 people so far this year. So,
Yeah.
WWE hot. That's the headline.
Yeah, and heading into Mania season, I can only imagine. I don't see that streak ending.
You know who was sitting back and looking for a beverage tonight as he watched SmackDown?
Matthew McConaughey?
Oh, you know what? They passed him an Angry Orchard hard cider, and he said, all right, all right, all right, and that's what he was popping open. Way, you asked it for it. You demanded it. Now we have logos on the SmackDown mat, and man, bravo to the creative direction. I mean, what a beautiful image that really spoke to the character of this product and really brought it to life here. I love the white Times New Roman font that they placed on this blue baby blue mat. It just jumps off the screen.
So, I mean,
this felt like they finalized this deal at about 5 o'clock this afternoon and had to just quickly just spray paint something onto the mat quick.
That is the logo of the hard cider.
Well, it looks so plain.
I mean,
it's plain as hell.
It's no real American beer, let's just say.
Couldn't they have like the image of the can with the the logo on it. Like, just give me something here. I want something aesthetically pleasing if I'm going to be marketed to for 3 hours.
You might have to take that up with this Angry Orchard Hard Cider. I don't know if that's a WWE decision.
I'm never going to drink that stuff. So anyway, that was our sponsor. Joe Tessitore opens the show in the ring, bringing out Cody Rhodes here in his father's hometown of Austin. And this was great. This was a preview of a contract signing.
Yeah, they're really stretching out their material here. You know, it makes sense why I guess you would do a contract signing on the go-home show for the Saturday night's main event ahead of the Rumble, where you're actually having them the match. But that
he's also on Raw Monday night as well.
Yeah, well,
and he'll probably be on SmackDown next Friday too.
Yeah, when you're because of the transfer window, you're tempted to have Cody basically appear on every single show because he's one of your biggest stars, but you also don't have that much content to really like stretch.
Kevin Owens is going to run out of t-shirts to wear for these segments. Like, he only has so many Cody and Dusty specific ones. He's run through the whole wardrobe.
You're essentially building up to a big promo segment for Saturday night's main event, and therefore this became the prelude to the promo segment to build up to the match.
He asked at the end, do you have any final words for Kevin Owens before you two speak tomorrow night?
It's ridiculous. Yeah,
dude, this whole concept of the 3 hour SmackDown is just, I'm sorry. God. I don't care how hot this company is. That is not going to mean I am just going to digest these shows and not like these are painfully long.
Yeah, I see. I believe last week I said I think I quite enjoyed the show last week. This week, back in the dumpster.
Am I the problem?
You might be, John. You might be. Honestly, I don't even remember how I felt last week, but I remember really hating the first 3 hour edition, and this was closer to that. I thought this was a very weak edition.
This was number four. This was the fourth of the new.
The fourth
format.
One. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So. Well, maybe they're batting 500 at this point.
So Rhodes praises Shawn Michaels. He's got the future of the company in his hand in NXT and calls Kevin Owens a genius with a genius-level IQ. I don't know if that's accurate. He's a hell of an athlete, but he always takes the easy way out, and there will be no referee to count three or disqualify them, just a ladder at the Rumble, and reminds everyone, I've beaten Gunther, I beat Roman Reigns, I'm a student of Randy Orton, and he says to Kevin Owens, good luck.
Yeah.
So... yeah, the go home promo for the addendum signing tomorrow night. I can't wait. I'm going to buy this addendum.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, not much to say about this, dude. It's like there's nothing really here. You know, if you had to kind of pull some sort of like insight from it, it's that you got a chance to see like Cody's display of intensity. Here you got Cody at a 6, all right? I imagine tomorrow you might get him closer to like an 8 or 9 in terms of intensity as he's speaking, but that's sort of
well,
like,
what about Monday and then what about Friday? How do you dial it?
I think on Monday you're dialing it back down, okay?
Yeah.
You know, like you give, like, because it's, you know, but they made this addendum feel like such a big deal. You give him a 9.
It's Cody. Atlanta on Monday too. I mean,
you might even get some tears, you know, from
Cody.
Oh,
tears. That'd be a good one, yeah.
Monday, I think you dial it back down to like a 7, you know, just kind of simmer. You like turn it up to a boil and then put it back to a simmer.
Okay. Does he dare go, you know, I have a dream, Cody?
No, he's on a good run. We're not in February yet.
Okay. So maybe he will, maybe he'll talk about the divided United States and unify everybody.
Maybe. Yeah, sure.
DIY is pretty deadly. They go over the game plan, and Gargano just learned he has a match with Apollo Crews, and he can't be out there. They can't be out there anymore with Pretty Deadly. So they're leaving Pretty Deadly on their own. Pretty Deadly are skeptical of this. And Ciampa tells them not to question their integrity. Go handle your business. And then Pretty Deadly walk into Legado del Fantasma. All of them just stare at one another. There are no words exchanged. And we never see Legado ever again on the remaining 2 hours and 40 minutes of this show. Nothing. They didn't get involved. They didn't do anything. I didn't know what this was to mean.
I mean, we're supposed to feel bad for Pretty Deadly, for people, for being gaslit, you know, to I guess, help. I don't even know if that's an example of gaslighting or not. Anyway, they're being manipulated by DIY, and they're being threatened by Legado without any protection from DIY. So I think that was all you were supposed to feel, you know, bad for Pretty Deadly.
Okay, well.
Clearly you did not.
We had the A-listers out tonight. They showed Matthew McConaughey, and then later we got to see Tony Hinchcliffe, Shane Gillis.
Puerto Rico's favorite comedian.
Yeah, I was waiting for Damian Priest to come
oh my God.
To come chat with Tony Hinchcliffe.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yes, and Gabriel Iglesias, who was not seated with the other comedians. I didn't know if there was maybe some select
seating. He's in
there.
The Tully Blanchard seating area. Yeah. This fluffy dude. Like, I mean, we just saw you, dude, okay? Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, you don't get to come
already?
Back so quickly.
Yeah.
Motor City Machine Guns against Pretty Deadly. I mean, if there's one thing about these expanded SmackDowns is you get like a nice Motor City Machine Guns match pretty much every week. I think we're going to get a 10-minute Motor City Machine Guns match.
I really do feel like, especially with these three-hour SmackDowns, they have to be feeling pretty good about their hire of the Motor City Machine Guns, because without them, this middle part of the show would just be like just awful. I mean, you'd have DIY occasionally, but as heels, I guess they're not wrestling as often. But at least we have one of these matches to rely on.
Well, the Machine Guns were their usual selves here, which was very good. I thought Pretty Deadly looked very good in this match too. I thought that, first of all, they were doing a much more kind of like conventional, like more serious style. Like they were utilizing various double team maneuvers of theirs, the bad apple onto Shelley. This was after having the heat on Sabin for a good portion of the match. And then they hit like their version of a Steinerizer onto Shelley, but he recovers and Sabin and Shelley fight back, double teaming Wilson, Skull and Bones for the win in 9:55. But a nice match that the four had here.
Yeah, you know, just given this DIY storyline, I feel like we're seeing an effort to eventually turn Pretty Deadly babyface, if not already turning them babyface. And I think having this more fan-friendly style, getting like double team maneuvers that are actually like memorable and exciting for the audience, and portraying them as more serious wrestlers, I think is being done for that reason.
And Nick Aldis welcomes The Miz. And The Miz praises Joe Tessitore's interview with Cody, but it's no Miz TV, and he offers to interview Owens tonight. Aldis then informs him, oh, you're not just here for a visit. You're now part of SmackDown. And what an endorsement of SmackDown this was. This man looked like he was about to vomit, because he explains, wait a minute, the Wyatt Six are here. And he admits he strategically had them moved here. So we already have corruption in the transfer window that is being admitted to here on screen. And I guess Adam Pearce got played. So Miz is now on SmackDown.
Or did he get played?
Clearly, you know what?
Not.
Yeah. If Adam Pearce, oh no, you manipulated me. And now I've lost the Wyatt Six. So Karrion Kross, I mean, thankfully he has his eyes on CM Punk and Sami Zayn and Seth Rollins. So he's busy on Raw. He's got
that's the big question, okay? Does Karrion Kross and the rest of the, what are they called?
The Final Testament.
Final Testament, thank you. Does Paul Ellering move his way over to SmackDown? Or is this storyline just simply over between The Miz and Karrion Kross?
What if they break up the Final Testament and split them among shows?
No, say it ain't so. Just when they're getting good. I hope not. Anyway, listen, like The Miz in this part of his career, I think has had like varying levels of like value to these shows. I can't say I'm excited about these.
What are
sort
you
of
talking
moves.
About? This is a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, like he's good for these sort of like, you know, middle parts of the show, comedy types of segments, and I just don't know if I get excited about any of this anymore. Spoiler alert, but like, you know, he essentially trades places with A-Town Down Under for this spot. And I don't know if it necessarily makes one better than the other.
There was a video for Braun Strowman and Jacob Fatu going through all their data and a tale of the tape. Owens interrupts Joe Tessitore and Wade Barrett complaining about not getting equal time for an interview. It's making him miss Michael Cole. Why does everyone want to be Cody's best friend? He betrays all of them, and he will prove he is the rightful champion at the Royal Rumble, and calls out Matthew McConaughey, saying he will beat Cody just like Ohio State beat your Longhorns. So out comes Jimmy Uso, says that Kevin Owens talks too damn much, and we get into a brawl, and Jimmy issues a challenge for tonight because we need a main event for later on tonight. During the third hour, this is becoming a new issue for me, is that in the third hour, I have no clue what is left in this show. And I totally forgot about this match after it was made. That's how much resonated with me. But maybe this kept everyone for the entire 3 hours, but that was set up. Carmelo meets with Nick Aldis. He was supposed to have a match with Jimmy Uso, but now he's been bumped because we have a better match with Kevin Owens. So they're going to have their match next week. And Aldis explains, but the good thing is I barely booked this show on Fridays, so I have lots of open spots. Would you like it to have a match with a new talent acquisition tonight? Hayes says, I'm not going to agree blindly like last time where it turned out to be Braun. I want to see them first. And this made no sense later when he was basically against his will put into this match after this was revealed to be Damian Priest, who is also now on SmackDown. So I guess the most significant move we have had in this transfer window now with Damian Priest and the official end of the Judgment Day, and more importantly, the end of the Terror Twins.
We don't know that.
I guess
Rhea,
not.
Rhea could be moving.
Sure. I guess everyone could move. I guess in that case. Could someone get transferred and get transferred back by the end of this whole transfer window? It's been long enough.
Anything is possible in the WWE, John.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Priest on SmackDown, I guess, why not? You know, that match he had with Finn Balor really did feel like the end of all his interaction with the Judgment Day. I can't help but feel like anybody moving to SmackDown, it feels a little bit like a demotion. Don't you think, John? Like, I mean,
yeah, this is not, as I've said, like, this is, like, the last few years, Raw and SmackDown have been pretty, like, neck and neck in terms of, like, important shows. And now that is not the case. There is a number one show and there is a number two show. And there is a significant difference between them.
All the hype is being put onto Netflix.
Everything.
All the important stars are being on Netflix. And anybody who goes to SmackDown, it just feels like they're on the lesser brand. And you know what? Like, that often creates, I think, a good environment for people to, create great work. But I feel like you can even see it on Damian Priest's face. The man is not necessarily happy to be on the Friday show.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Well, next match is Chelsea Green and Piper Niven against Meechan and B-Fab. They did not let this one go too long. We had the long back attack way. B-Fab hits a DDT. Niven goes to break the cover, but accidentally elbows Chelsea Green. And then Meechan counters the unprettier, eat defeat, pins Chelsea Green in 3 minutes and 25 seconds. So this is going to set up Meechan's final opportunity at the U.S. title next week on the Friday before the Royal Rumble against Chelsea.
A little bit surprised maybe by the result because they were putting so much behind B-Fab on commentary. She could still be the sort of end game here or the person who, you know, faces Chelsea after Meechan. But I thought we were done, honestly, like ringing this Meechan versus Chelsea Green saga. Like, how many Meechan versus Chelsea Green matches can a person take?
They need to bring the dumpster back.
That's really what I mean, they need a super dumpster.
I'm not going to insult Indianapolis. Like, so,
well, no, Tony Hinchcliffe can, he's already made that joke.
Charlotte Flair vignette. She talks about the difference between confidence and arrogance. Confidence is knowing, and she has crafted a legacy no one can touch. And she is back and declares herself for the Royal Rumble and even managed with a tear in my eye, citing her father's famous speech after winning the 92 Royal Rumble. And for the second week in a row, we went from the Charlotte vignette cut to Tiffany Stratton.
Maybe a deliberate tease to tell you what a WrestleMania outcome might be.
I think that one makes a lot of, you know, it's a fresh matchup, and I think it is a direction that is the way you could go.
It makes sense just kind of given their athleticism. Yeah, sure. I'm sure the match will be good. But
you also said that Charlotte would likely win a title within 30 days of her return. So the clock starts ticking next Saturday.
Sure. Maybe can I have like a, you know, a month grace period?
I think she could. I should think she could win the Rumble and get her title shot within the month.
Yeah.
Don't wait till Mania.
So definitely, I think at this point I would predict Charlotte versus Stratton to be that WrestleMania match. But I also don't know how the audience would take to it. You know, like, I mean, booking a match like that directly plays into the audience's perceptions that Charlotte is somebody who just comes in and walks right into a title picture. And that will in turn make her a bigger heel. It seems like she might already be a heel, you know, upon return. Does that mean Stratton's a babyface for this program?
I mean, she was a babyface tonight.
Stratton? Really?
She was. I mean, she came out and it was like, she's still got like this snobbish demeanor, but she came out. Rhea was like aligned with her.
Not necessarily. She's just saying, I'm a champion too. That didn't mean that they're aligned.
She was, when they got into the brawl, Tiffany was fighting alongside the babyfaces.
Okay, all right, but even the last week she was fighting Bayley. It's fine.
They can have matches.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, this segment basically was Stratton coming out. We only got one Tiffy Time reference, so at least the memo reached her. Rhea comes out pointing out, "I'm a champion too," because Stratton's speech was all about whoever wins the Rumble is going to come for my title, and Rhea says that she respects what Stratton did to Nia, but it's nothing compared to what I'll do tomorrow night. So Nia and Candace come out. Jax is entering the Rumble, which was a head scratcher, but she did clarify, I'm going to win the title tomorrow night. I'm still going to enter the Royal Rumble to then go after Tiffany's title.
Yes. Just to at least make sense of it, even though like none of them are really believable to win. Yeah.
Belair and Naomi came out. They're entering the Rumble. Liv comes out. She's going to win the Royal Rumble. And Raquel, in theory, is also in the Rumble because she is going to ensure Liv's victory. So I could see we do the famous Shawn Michaels Diesel spot in the Rumble.
Which is what? What's the famous Shawn Diesel spot?
Where everyone is ganging up on Raquel, and then Liv just accidentally knocks into everyone and sends Raquel over by mistake, and Raquel is eliminated by Liv.
Okay. All right.
So.
Yeah, this felt just like a this segment to me felt like the equivalent of like
booked the men's match and we've done all these promos and realizing, oh, we also have a women's Royal Rumble 2 next week.
Yeah, it's like being assigned like, you know, a sort of like season long school project and then waiting till the last 2 hours to really do it all, because this was just cramming in weeks of potential story into one segment, because all the focus has been on Netflix. It's been on the men's Rumble, and even for the women, you know, they've had their own focuses, like Tiffany Stratton with the cash in and everything, but they overall have done a really poor job of establishing storylines and establishing like as much narrative juice as, you know, they have for the men's match than with the women's. This just felt like a real rush job to me.
What's the latest you ever left like a school assignment or project? Like the latest?
Oh, I was like notorious for like handing in my stuff like after the deadline. Like I was very bad with it, and I would come up with the worst excuses. Like I would alter my emails. Anyway, this was back when like I think like internet technology was a lot more primitive. But like I'd be like, I'm ashamed of it. But I would just take forever. I'm just like, I didn't take a lot of those classes all that seriously.
Yeah. When I was in elementary school, I once did a book report. Our class started at 8:30 and I got to school at 8 o'clock and I wrote it in the stairwell.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do so well. Hadn't even read the book.
Wow. So it was just a bunch of bullshit you put
it
on.
Totally. It was listen. It's just not good.
It's back in my day, you know, we had to write our own bullshit essays. We didn't have AI.
Dude, I had to write it with a pencil in the stairwell.
Oh my god. Wow.
So out of this brawl, we get a six-woman tag with Rhea Ripley, Naomi, and Bianca Belair against Nia Jax, Candice LeRae, and Liv Morgan. They went 12 minutes, 13 seconds. Liv got in there with the Three Amigos onto Naomi. They beat on Naomi for quite some time until the hot tag to Rhea, who is going after Raquel, who gets involved on the apron. Then Liv stops a riptide that was to be delivered onto Nia Jax. So instead, Rhea takes Liv and riptides her on top of Nia. Raquel gets back onto the apron, and LeRae sends her to the floor, and Bianca lifts up LeRae for the KOD, hits it, but she is not the legal woman. Liv is, and Liv capitalizes with a crucifix, pinning Bianca Belair in 12 minutes and 13 seconds. So the tag champions are pinned here.
Yeah, it was a good, fun match with like a bit of a party atmosphere because you had all the stars of the division within one single match. Kind of felt like a bit of a house show feel. Again, fun to watch, but hardly a priority, you know, when they did not make this feel important as well. It was just like coming back from commercial break, they're all in a match together. But the finish does potentially give Liv and Raquel a tag title shot.
Johnny Gargano and Apollo Crews. Monumental undertaking. I don't know what was last, the time that TNA had a live television special or Apollo Crews got a singles victory on WWE television, but he did here. Johnny Gargano cracks him with
he had those wins over Giovanni Vinci, did he not?
Oh, that's right. Well, I don't count those because Giovanni Vinci, you need to exist.
He doesn't exist.
The wins to count. There's a backstabber off the rope by Gargano. Crews goes to the floor and is hit with a knee by Ciampa when the Motor City Machine Guns walk out. And man, what a distraction. Gargano couldn't take his eyes off them, and Crews rolls them up in 4 minutes and 15 seconds. So back-to-back matches where we get tag champions getting pinned.
Yeah, and before people start celebrating, I mean, this was about as like the bare minimum of what you would classify as a win, all right? Like, this was a fluke win off of a distraction for Crews, and as soon as he got the win, he just kind of scurried his way off screen, making sure to get none of your attention as the Motor City Machine Gun stared DIY down. So, I hope this means that there's something for Crews, but it's been a really weird return to the main roster.
Is this going
to
set up a tag title match
for Apollo Crews?
Yeah,
he doesn't have a tag partner.
Exactly. Like, I'm fine with like you pin your champions, but there needs to be a purpose for it, and I don't think we're going to see any purpose to this.
Yeah. Again, at least with like Bianca taking the pin, you know, you have Liv and Raquel who will challenge them. But this was just used to built to Motor City Machine Guns taking on DIY, which is a good match, but just, you know, a strange way to go about it.
The saving grace of these 3-hour shows is Jacob Fatu now gets a weekly promo, and he just walks with Tama Tonga, and he's yelling at Braun Strowman, Godzilla versus King Kong, no, scratch that, because I'm both. It says he's all gas. This guy is tremendous. I mean, this guy's going to be my Gunther of 2025.
He's fantastic. He's
this great. Is not worth 3 hours, but at least we get like 40 seconds of Jacob Fatu yelling into the camera.
I would, I think, gladly accept 3 hours of Jacob Fatu walking through the arena talking at the camera like this.
Yeah, that would be fine. And Tama got his little bit in at the end as well. Tama Tonga against LA Knight. Knight cut a promo, and he was willing to take that ass kicking from the Bloodline last week as long as it meant he got a piece of them. Tonight he wants the whole thing, and he'll kick Jacob Fatu so hard he won't be able to stop shaking and leave nothing for Braun tomorrow night. So the match begins, and Tama is sent over the barricade, and then Knight gets driven into the steps, and Tama ends up getting run into the corner. There's a neck breaker. Tama hits his Veleno, what a unique DDT. That's how I'm going to call it now, since that's apparently the name for it. Tama ends up avoiding the BFT, but then after a roll-up attempt, Knight kicks him in the gut. BFT, I mean, if there were not enough of the Steve Austin comparisons, he also does now like the kick to the gut to set up the blunt force trauma and wins in 12 minutes, 7 seconds. And then Fatu runs Knight onto the desk from his shoulders. Braun arrives, and we have a big showdown between Jacob Fatu and Braun before Braun clotheslines Jacob Fatu out of the ring, and he is led to the back by Tama Tonga.
I didn't really find the match all that interesting, you know, in terms of just styles. In 2024, it didn't really feel like, without the story, without like Knight being really having like much of a goal at the moment, like he's going after Nakamura for the title again, but we haven't seen Nakamura at least like, you know, do much other than speak for a few
weeks.
He's busy
editing and transcribing his promos.
Yeah, it does take a long time.
It's a lot of work for him to get one of these packages
true
up and running.
But it definitely feels to me like Knight has cooled off, you know, especially after losing the tag titles. But more importantly, after getting beaten up by the Bloodline so often. So, I, you know, like maybe a year ago, I would have expected him to be, by this point, somebody that you would take seriously in a Royal Rumble campaign, Royal Rumble like position. But he certainly does not feel like that person at all.
Maybe he's going to win it.
Yeah, maybe.
Miz is trying to convince people to be allies with him against the Wyatt Six, because now he is on this show without the Final Testament. And earlier in the show, he pitched Andrade, putting him over and saying, you just need someone to guide you. And Andrade said, that's a great idea. I'm going to go find someone. And off he went. And now he caught up with Theory and Waller and says that we're all from the same cloth, and pitches the idea, imagine us in the Marine 7. And this was pretty good. And then Aldis comes in to inform them that Waller and Theory have been sent to Raw.
And they're so excited because they get to be on the A show now.
So tell me, let's go over this. Okay, these are not strict trades, are they?
No.
It's a transfer window. Yeah. So is there no power of the GMs to control who leaves and who comes?
I mean, it's all in the negotiation.
Because so far in the negotiations, they gained Damian Priest in exchange for
track of all this?
Waller and Theory.
No. It's not a one-to-one trade. Like, because okay. SmackDown has announced names. Like, Braun Strowman is one of them.
Braun's also gone to SmackDown. So far, Raw has gotten Bayley, and I think that's the only person Raw has got until Waller and Theory.
It depends. Like, where was Logan Paul before?
Logan Paul was he on SmackDown?
I don't know, but I guess he would be included as well.
He might have been brandless.
I don't think they're considering these like trade for trade.
Okay, as long as we have that out, I'm not.
They're all free agents. Okay, whoever signs them. Yeah.
Okay. Nakamura does his video. He's warning all of those who challenge for the U.S. title. The attempt will be a fruitless effort. You will get nothing. The only thing left will be the body that has been crushed, hurt, and shattered. This title will still be in my hands, but that's not enough. I have further heights. I am entering the Royal Rumble, and I will seize victory, just like I did in 2018. This is the year of his conquest. So I think LA Knight, Shinsuke Nakamura are probably your favorites for next Saturday.
Sure.
Maybe it'll come down to these two. They will reignite their program as the final two.
Well, I mean, I expect them to reignite the program, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the videos are cool, but they've done nothing with him for weeks now.
With Nakamura?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got to space them out. He's still coming off that Yulka Sasaki win on New Year's Day. He's got to rehab and rest.
And surf.
Damian Priest is back on SmackDown, and he's taking on Carmelo Hayes. So, yeah, that was it. Hayes wanted to see who the opponent was first. He saw him and said, you're in a match. So that was that. There wasn't a whole lot of debate here. Hayes is able to maneuver to the floor, sending Priest into the post. This was really tough for Hayes to try and get any kind of heat on Damian Priest, who was just going to plow through him. Hayes rolls to the floor, and Priest chases and runs him into the timekeeper's area. And then Hayes gets the first 48. Priest kicks out. Nothing but net gets avoided. There's an inside cradle. Priest hits the rebound lariat south of heaven, and he wins clean as a sheet in 10 minutes and 48 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The new story,
match.
By the way, was he in NXT, Carmelo never missed, but now he's willing to miss as long as he learns something in the process. That's what Wade Barrett explained. There's a point to all these losses, Way.
Yeah, it's been terrible for Carmelo. I mean, listen, he's been able to get a consistent role. He essentially, like, he almost gets to wrestle every single week, but it's in a losing effort, and he just gets...
Private Party got a lot of TV time over the last 2 months, too.
Well, I think Hayes is doing better than Private Party, but just barely, you know? And I think it's a case where, like, unfortunately, I think it's his size and his height, his lack of height, that probably has worked against him on the main roster. Otherwise, you know, like we just
Shorty
have...
H.
I hope not, dude. Like, again, I think they're just waiting for Trick Williams to come in so that he can have an actual partner to tell a story with, because otherwise he's just in this role, isn't he? To like,
I don't know. I don't know if Trick is going to be just this, you know, this cure all. I mean, and second, I don't think they can just bring up Trick and not acknowledge all of the feud in NXT. Like,
They will. They will, but okay. They'll patch things up like Gargano and Ciampa have, and they'll at least be able to tell hopefully some story.
Yeah, I'm very high on Trick Williams, but I'm not dying for his call up to be like slotted into one of these random SmackDown tag teams. Which there's some talented people in this tag division, but this division just feels like it is the depository for good talent that we don't really have too many plans for, but they can all just mingle among themselves. We had more people in the crowd. Way Michelle McCool was there. Don't know if her husband was present.
Her husband was there. He gave a Texas Longhorn custom belt to Matthew McConaughey.
Oh well, that's wonderful. Yeah. And Mark Henry also present.
Yeah, and
Henry was doing the rounds this week from Genesis to SmackDown.
He lives in Texas.
Yes, he lives in Austin.
There you go. Yeah. So yeah, in terms of celebrity, this did feel like a big show, didn't it? Like Matthew McConaughey, you know, getting involved.
Fluffy.
Yeah. Fluffy.
I wouldn't say this is like our... like
Bigger than usual.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Well, would you call Matthew McConaughey an A-list star?
I would.
He just makes it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, Shane Gillis is very popular. Tony Hinchcliffe has his audience.
Yes, he does. Yes.
He does. They're not Puerto Rican, but he has his audience.
Yeah, but in terms of content, this like there was more star power in the crowd than there were, I think, you know, in on the roster. Like,
would Tony Hinchcliffe have been booed at the Intuit Dome? Maybe he should have introduced Hulk Hogan at Saturday Night.
He should have. He really should have. Yeah.
Okay. So Priest is walking in the back, and he runs into Cody Rhodes, and boy, Cody goes up to him. SmackDown, huh? Yeah. I'm here. Glad to have you on board. And Cody walks off, and Priest goes, see you soon, champ.
We'll see if Cody is
Cody
still
was
here.
Saving all of his good material for Saturday, obviously. Oh, yeah. You can't do more promo segments. He's exhausted.
I've done enough talking. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess a tease of Cody versus Priest. I feel like
When are they going to do all this stuff?
There's a lot of shows to book.
I'm still waiting for Trish Stratus and Tiffany Stratton to resolve their issue. Remember that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, the Rumble's coming.
We need someone to put together a loose ends thread on our forum. Brian from New Jersey's in charge of that. Okay. Sure. What are the loose ends that we should all be aware of? Then DIY is with Nick Aldis. They complain about Gargano's loss earlier, and we find out that the Motor City Machine Guns will get a rematch with DIY, 2 out of 3 falls match at the Rumble.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Like 2 out of 3 falls, they have that amount, that sort of time for a PLE, I guess.
Well, I mean, at this point, this is only the fourth match on that show. It's like it's this, the ladder match, and the 2 Rumbles. And when you think about it, like the Rumbles speak for themselves. That ladder match, probably 20, 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe longer. Like now a 2 out of 3 falls match, which I really hope it's not one of those where they just race through 2 falls and then do the lengthier third. Like that could be your show right there. Like maybe they add one more thing. It's not like they really need
60,000 people, John.
Yeah, but you're getting 2 rumbles. Like that alone is
60,000 people for 4 matches just feels so crazy.
Dude, 2 rumbles is probably like 2.5 hours, right?
Yes, I understand.
Plus a ladder match with all the video packages.
But because it's a stadium show, I would expect it to be at least like 3.5.
They'll probably do their 5. They love that number 5, so yeah. I could see them adding more. But Mm-hmm. I guess we'll find out after Saturday, because like Gunther and Rhea Ripley, in theory, could one of them could at least have a match the next weekend.
Or against each other.
Sure. Yes. Yes. Perfect idea. This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, as myself and Wei Ting will be providing full shows containing news of the day, questions, and so much more going live on those nights for patrons. Plus, we will have coverage of Wrestle Kingdom 19, Wrestle Dynasty, The People vs. GCW, TNA Genesis, a Rewind Away retrospective on the Ric Flair-Ricky Steamboat feud of 1989, all of your regular shows, a Daredevil primer, and throughout the month of January, you get a free month if you sign up for an annual subscription. $6 a month at postwrestlingcafe.com. Next week on SmackDown, the night before the Rumble, we have DIY and Pretty Deadly against the Motor City Machine Guns and Los Garza, Chelsea Green against Meechan for the U.S. title, Naomi versus Liv Morgan. How is Liv Morgan maneuvering this transfer window?
She's just there to negotiate. Like, you're free to appear anywhere. You haven't signed yet.
Okay. Why sign if you could just negotiate every week?
Because the window will end eventually.
When? Next year? And Jimmy Uso against Carmelo Hayes, unless it gets bumped next week.
Jimmy Uso books another match for himself with a better opponent.
Maybe that's what they'll continue to do with him. Hayes runs into Jimmy, says, "It's going to take you more than four moves to beat Kevin Owens." And Jimmy just laughs him off, saying, "I'll beat you with three moves next week." And so we get the camera following Jimmy to the ring, and we see Carmelo Hayes in the background. This was like a nice change of pace to have a guy jump the other. So he jumped him in front of the arena, and this poor Carmelo Hayes, he can't even attack this guy from behind and do any kind of damage. Jimmy literally gets up and just smirks and keeps walking to the ring. Like, he's not in any jeopardy for this match. It's not the ref. "Are you sure you want to continue, Jimmy?" It's like, of course you're fine. It was just Carmelo Hayes.
Pretty much, yeah.
Man.
I mean, they're trying to, like, this was them trying to, I think, we're building something here between Hayes and Jimmy Uso.
I hope so.
I mean, I hope so too, because...
What is Carmelo learning from this experience? What's he taking away from it?
By the end of the show, you're talking about two losers who are about to have a match. That's the match you're promoting for next week, okay? Like, the guy who lost to Priest and the guy who lost to Kevin Owens are about to have this headlining bout next week on SmackDown. Get excited. I'm not that optimistic about either of them.
How many times did these two get talking segments on tonight's show and neither of them declared themselves for the Rumble? Like, that's the rule. You just have to say, "I declare," and you're in. And neither of them did it.
They're probably in anyway.
You think?
There's a decent chance, yeah.
Well, our final match is Jimmy Uso against Kevin Owens. Owens is out in a Naomi t-shirt. Owens goes up to Tessitore.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy runs down to protect Joe Tessitore. And Kevin Owens Irish whips him into the corner, and a piece of the post breaks. And Kevin Owens,
it's the covering for the camera that
comes off, and he just yells, "Do you see how strong I am?" And Owens is pretty funny in this. Like, he's yelling at the comedians, "You guys got any jokes for me?" And then when he puts on the arm lock onto Jimmy, he just looks over at Matthew. "All right, all right, all right."
He's worth watching in the commercial breaks.
Oh, he's a commercial break wrestler. Yeah. Like, absolutely. It's worth living in Canada just for Kevin Owens during commercial breaks. Among other reasons, Kevin Owens uses a blue thunderbomb, which I thought was a pretty important spot of this match, and not one of the announcers called this out.
It's been, you know, it's been 2 hours and 45 minutes by this point, John.
They did mention here, Jesse Ventura will be back on commentary tomorrow. They trade super kicks at the end. Jimmy stops a stunner, hits the spear, but then the Uso splash gets stopped. Kevin's been working on the arm, so he snaps it on the rope, sends Jimmy's injured shoulder into the post to win with a pop-up powerbomb in 13 minutes and 46 seconds. And to end the show, he goes for a package pile driver on the desk. But Cody, not satisfied with his earlier segment, runs out, and we get a brawl to end the show. The last image before the addendum signing.
Yes.
Wonderful.
The brawl before the addendum, which is sure to end in another brawl.
Which hand will they sign with? Tune in tomorrow. Yeah. Wonderful. Oh, this was the longest show ever.
Yeah, this was a pretty draggy edition of the show. And I think, like, again, for me, like, what continues to stand out is just the lack of star power that's on SmackDown in comparison to Raw. It just, this show has Cody Rhodes.
They had Rhea tonight. That was a cameo.
Yeah, I guess so. That was barely as, I mean, she had a match, sure. Okay, Rhea, I'll give you that. Cody.
Owens.
And then it's just, yeah. Owens is like, is a star because he's feuding with Cody.
I know what you mean. But just in general, Raw feels like the bigger show. Like, it just does. And I'm so, like, this show is just not designed for 3 hours. I'm 4 weeks in now, and it's just, like, it's a real slog, these 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have enough, again, star power for it. It doesn't have enough, like, important content for it. It doesn't help that so much of this show is going to be made somewhat irrelevant by tomorrow anyway. So it's just, it already feels to me like, okay, Fatu versus Braun is, you know, it's not that important. It's a curiosity match because they're two big guys. But in terms of, like, greater story, it doesn't really have that much effect on anything. Like, I'm barely interested in the match itself. I don't necessarily think I'll be interested in seeing the prelude to it, which is essentially what tonight gave us. So this is not even a go home show for a pay-per-view. It's the go home show to, like, by almost its definition, like a B, almost C level pay-per-view, if you want to maybe call Saturday night's main event that.
This feels like I think there'll be some good stuff on this Saturday night's main event show. But this is a far cry from the emphasis on the first one in December that they really did build up like a pay-per-view. So let's quickly go through this. It's in San Antonio tomorrow night. They will have a very big crowd at the Frost Bank Center, airing at 8 Eastern on NBC, on YouTube internationally, including for those of you in Canada. The WWE Heavyweight Championship match pits Gunther against Jey Uso. Mm. And Gunther, I think, is most people's assumption to win this match, with the caveat of whatever they are planning to do with this Goldberg story, which, as we have discussed, when you do that match, that certainly does not require the championship. If this is going to be Goldberg's retirement match, you could do it with the title, but it's certainly not necessary. I still don't believe that Jey Uso would be the guy that would be taking this title. But
and Goldberg's supposed to be there on Monday?
Well, they have not announced him, but that was the word that had been reported a few weeks ago, was Goldberg being there on Monday. But there's been no mention of him.
I imagine they might be waiting for tomorrow to announce it.
They could shoot an angle on Saturday that sets that up.
He could show up. And in fact, if I was wanting to book a surprise for NBC, I think having Goldberg appear, whether or not getting involved in this match or just simply appearing at the end of it to stare down Gunther, teasing an interaction on Monday, I think would be great.
And Monday in Atlanta is, like, that's the city to do something with Goldberg.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I don't. Do you see any possibility of a Jey Uso win in this one? I just don't see it. Though Gunther losing this title before Mania, I could very well see in the cards.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe to the right person, but I don't see it, John. Like, I think Jay is the type of character that probably needs to fail a couple times before he actually reaches it on a bigger stage. Not to say Saturday night's main event isn't a big stage, but it just doesn't feel like we've had enough build to make this win feel earned, you know? I also think Gunther is the type of champion that Levesque is very protective of, and I think it's going to take a bigger story and a bigger threat in order for Gunther to beat him. But, you know, getting a close near fall, maybe even getting screwed out of, like, winning the championship should be something that I hope Jey Uso leaves this match with, so that he can claim that, hey, like,
putting Gunther in danger, so that he at least Gunther leaves like he overestimated or underestimated Jay, and you get that. So I see the same. We'll see what kind of match it is. I don't know, like, the certainly it's always, like, a great, great atmosphere for these big Jey Uso matches, especially when you have, like, 15,000 people that they will tomorrow night. And we'll see if, like, the styles mesh for this as well. Like, if it's a Gunther style of match as well, and building to some near falls for Jey at the end as well. Bron Breakker against Sheamus. I think this is going to be your match of the show. I don't see this being the time for Sheamus to get this big win. It just doesn't seem like the time for it. I think they're going to keep this elusive chase for him. But I think this should be tremendous. I would be stunned if this is not the best match on the show.
Yeah, to me, I'm sold just strictly on the in-ring quality here. Not necessarily for, you know, the hope of a Sheamus title win. I think I'd be satisfied regardless of decision. In fact, Sheamus is another one of those where, like, I want his IC title win because it's been such a, you know, long chase for him. I want it to be on the biggest stage possible, and I want it to actually be the most meaningful thing for him in many years. And Saturday night's main event just doesn't feel like the right place for it. It's like, honestly, if I was Sheamus, I wouldn't want to win it until I was about to retire, because it's the best story he's got going on long term.
Yeah. Yep. Rhea Ripley against Nia Jax. This is the one I could see them running back at the Rumble. I think that if you have, Gunther and Jey Uso is in a similar boat, but this is the match I see maybe having some kind of finish that is ambiguous enough that they can come back at the Rumble with some kind of stipulation or something. We will see. But they do have Nia in the Rumble now after tonight, but yeah.
I see it too. I see them having some form of a match. Like, could it get interrupted and DQ'd? Yeah, I could see that being a possibility. I think it's been long enough that these two have been apart. It's been about a year since these two have been apart. So I don't think they'll just do a rematch and then just kind of end it there. I see them building to something else. Yeah.
Maybe Rhea and Tiffany Stratton team up at the Royal Rumble, the two babyface champions.
Yeah, you know, I did just see some of those images, and it does seem right. Like, she is a babyface, Tiffany Stratton.
And then Jacob Fatu against Braun Strowman. This to me is a really big showcase for Jacob Fatu, and it's the kind of opponent that these guys can have, your big monster type of match. And I think the audience will be into this one, and I think it's just going to be one of those crazy 10-minute sprints, and Jacob Fatu should get the big win here. I think he did enough selling in the lead-up to this that he should get a really big, hard-fought but sizable win, and you continue this story. Like, Solo Sikoa is off, no one knows what he's doing, and Jacob Fatu is kind of subtly, taking the reins and moving forward without Solo Sikoa.
Mm-hmm. I could see them following very much the Bronson Reed, Braun Strowman formula for this one, just car crash, excitement, and maybe a lot of use of weapons behind the ref's back and things like that, just crazy stunts. I think they know the way to, make a Braun Strowman match successful, and essentially for a meat match or giant match, I think it's reliant on a high pace with a lot of stunts. So I'm excited for it.
And then we have the contract addendum overseen by Shawn Michaels. What kind of font do you think will be on the paper? Do you think they'll use pens or Sharpie?
How many pages will the contract be in total?
It'll be a one-pager. It'll definitely be a one-pager. Yeah.
Even with the addendum, you think it would be a staple being attached to an extra sheet, right?
I still think it'll be a one-pager with that giant font that'll read Royal Rumble, and then we'll have, we'll zero in on the addendum at the bottom of the one page.
It'll say addendum in, size 35 font, yeah.
What will Shawn Michaels wear?
I can see his best cowboy hat, because we are in San Antonio, of course. T-shirt and blazer, I'm assuming, exactly like he looks in this graphic.
NXT shirt with a blazer is my pick.
Sure, yeah, NXT shirt. Now, jeans. cowboy hat, or
no, he'll wear
ball cap.
Cowboy hat.
NXT ball cap?
Cowboy hat,
okay.
Cowboy hat in Texas.
Well, this is NBC, it's a broadcast. He's going to be.
Yeah, he's not going to wear those alligator boots.
I think he will. I think the boots are with
the alligator boots, huh?
Well, okay. What else is it? I don't think the man owns proper shoes anymore. I think he only has alligator boots.
Maybe he wears those toe shoes. You know those?
No.
The
pointy toe shoes? What are toe shoes? What are you?
All right, we're done.
Like shoes with the toes,
yeah,
a slot for each toe.
Maybe he's like a big CrossFit guy now.
I don't know.
All right, this is gonna be two hours.
No. Seriously, we need a proper breakdown of this. Like, what's gonna happen here? Okay, what's gonna happen?
I think that you should have some kind of physicality in this.
So the process is they're gonna hand the belts to Sean so that Sean can put them on this the attachment, and so that the belts could get raised, even though they're just gonna get lowered and then brought over to the Rumble.
Yeah.
Anyway,
maybe Sean's gonna take a bump in this. Maybe he's gonna get super kicked by Kevin. Do something.
I wonder. I wonder if they pay him enough for that. I feel like he's sort of a. He needs Saudi money to take a bump. But no, I wouldn't rule that out. You know, I could expect Owens to be wearing his Bret Hart vest. You know, maybe a leather jacket, maybe you know what he had on last week.
Can't wait.
Provoking Sean. This is the segment where I'm expecting their best material. Okay.
Do you think it's too crowded to do something with Orton in this type of segment? I would think they want him in the Rumble next week. Like, if he's ready to come back.
Interesting.
He's been gone a long time.
Cody did mention him in his promo tonight. Mm-hmm. So what would his role be in this match, in the ladder match? I think if he's going to come back, you maybe save him for the ladder match. I don't know if he necessarily needs to be in the Rumble, if he's especially not going to win.
Yeah. You know? Anyway. Well, there you go. That's Saturday night's main event. We will be live a bit later on Saturday night. So
11 o'clock.
Yes, about 11 o'clock Eastern, we will be going live. So about an hour after Saturday night's main event.
That show will be free, live and free on the youtube.com/postwrestling for everybody.
Yes. Subscribe, thumbs up, and we will now be transitioning over and chatting with you. This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. Postwrestlingcafe.com.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.